Lahiri Mahashaya. Lahiri was his family name. Mahashaya means great soul. So it was really just his name with the title of great soul attached to it. Lived in Varanasi, and he lived a very humble, scarcely noticed life as a householder disciple at a time when there was a spiritual prejudice against householders, in the sense that the true definition of a spiritual person was one who had renounced the world. And the very idea that you could work in an ordinary job, have a wife, have children, raise those children, and still not be less than one who had renounced all of those worldly things was not a common thought. And so Lahiri's presence in our line of gurus was an extremely important shift from rejection of the world to the carrying of spirituality into the world. It's perfectly represented by the story of Lahiri's wandering in the mountains, being called by Babaji, recognizing Babaji from many lifetimes as his disciple, receiving the Kriya initiation, having the expectation that Babaji and the Himalayas are so elevated from ordinary life that ordinary life would be just forgotten, that he would just be considered, Lahiri would be considered by the world to have died somewhere in the mountains, when in fact he would have died in his spirit to all of this world. But instead, Babaji sent him back. And at Lahiri's request, his mission was expanded, because as the drama plays out in autobiography, Babaji acts in accordance with the times in which absolute renunciation is required before these powerful esoteric teachings will be given. But Lahiri protests and said many sincere souls could be drawn much closer to God if we gave them these teachings, and they're not able to renounce the world, but they could rise to transcendence if we help them. So again, Babaji Lahiri represents to us God coming just for me. And in Autobiography of a Yogi at the time, Yogananda describes that there was a very, very famous holy man whose name was Trailanga Swami. Trailanga was reputed to have lived 300 years, and there were generational citizens of Varanasi who an old man knew Trailanga Swami when the old man was just a little boy. So his life could be traced for a very long time. He was a very big man, Trailanga Swami. They said 1 pound for every year of his reputed 300 years. And as it was his habit to walk around what they call sky clad, which is to say wearing nothing at all. And periodically, in the interest of common decency, the authorities would try to get him to be more discreet about his person, and they would occasionally imprison him in an effort to force him to be more decent in public. There's countless stories told of Babaji's, Trailanga Swami's miraculous escape. They say about Trailanga Swami, the way Master writes it, that if Jesus Christ himself appeared on the streets of New York, it would be no less of a sensation than it was when Trailanga Swami walked through the streets of Varanasi. He was an absolute renunciate in every measure, every external measure that you could have. He was an absolute renunciate in every internal measure that you could have. Lahiri Mahashaya was a government accountant, living modestly with his wife in a small house in Varanasi. We know that he had 2 sons. Conceivably, he had several more children than that, but the 2 sons, at least, are known. When Trailanga Swami encountered Lahiri Mahashaya, he fell at his feet in reverence. Now think about that and the sensation that it caused even at that time. And people were aghast Because how could this renunciate, who was the apex of spirituality, humble himself before Lahiri Mahashaya? And Trailanga Swami described Lahiri in this way. He said, Lahiri is like a kitten in the mouth of Divine Mother. He said, he has achieved a surrender and attunement with God, living as he is in the world. And that Trailanga said that I have had to renounce everything, including my loincloth, he said, to attain. Now, I want to think for a moment about that kitten in the mouth of Divine Mother. I'm sure you've seen pictures, or perhaps you've had a cat of your own who's raised kittens. And we know how the mother cat will just pick the kitten up by the scruff of the neck. And when the kittens are really young, they don't even have their eyes open. They're blind. The kitten doesn't even know who's moving it, where it is being moved, why it is being moved. And the mouth of the mother will close over the scruff of the neck of the kitten with its very sharp teeth, but will close only enough to be able to lift the kitten and to move. And when you see the kittens, there's not a cell in their being, there's not an ounce of their being that resists. There's no part of them that has a preference. There's no like or dislike. It's that I am here, Divine Mother comes, I can't even see her. And she takes that which is sharp and would be possible of ripping me to shreds, and then gently picks me up and takes me to wherever I need to be next. Now, Master came to teach us many things about willpower and about acting according to guidance. But the end of the entire story is that everything that we call ourselves, that is precious to us, in the end, we give it all up, everything we give up. In speaking of divine surrender, a friend of mine who's written very much about this, Mickey Singer, he says very simply this. He said, let go of who you think you are. Let go of where you think you're going. Let go of where you think you've been. Now, what we're talking about is completely redefining ourselves in terms of whatever God wants. And that's what Lahiri's life represents to us. And that's the vibration that through all of creation and all of the many possibilities of karmic involvement, of endless likes and dislikes of the heart, of fears and desires which just eat away at all times in our peace. And it's very hard even for us to comprehend how dynamic that surrender is. We watched, many of us watched the life of Swami Kriyananda. He was as engaged, as creative, as actively pouring his energy out into the world to create, as beyond anything I could have imagined if I hadn't known him. And yet, at the same time, his idea of himself was always as Master's little boy. And so Lahiri Mahashaya, he sat for years after he retired from his job in the living room of his house. He founded no organization. He himself published no books. He made no effort to attract people. Divine Mother had picked him up and put him there. And he sat there and lived in her presence. And living in her presence, he radiated her presence. And radiating her presence, everyone was drawn to him, literally like bees to the flower. And thousands of people over the course of his life came in the night, came in the day, quietly sat at his feet, received his darshan, and received his initiation into Kriya. So what Lahiri gives us is the form in the most silent, in the most absolutely humble way. There's different times in our lives when different vibrations are appropriate. Sometimes there's times when we have to simply stand up and conquer, when it is not possible to be invisible, when we are being called upon to act. And there are other times in our lives when we are being called absolutely to surrender. And what Lahiri Mahashaya represents for us is that blind kitten being carried by the mother. Meditate on what that feels like. Meditate on what causes us to be afraid to believe that she knows. Meditate on what it would be like to be called to the Himalayas, to find that you are an eternal disciple of Babaji, to be reunited with your guru, to lie as Lahiri did in the Ganges and have the Ganges water just wash over him, to be involved in the mystical ceremony of Kriya initiation in a golden palace materialized on an empty place by stony caves, and then have it all disappear, and then have our guru say, go back to your life, to get up the next day, to go into your office, to talk to your employer, to work on your account books, to take care of your child, to take care of your wife, to greet your neighbors, but all never forgetting for one moment that I am just being carried from spot to spot like a blind kitten in the mouth of its mother. When we sit to meditate, bring that feeling into ourselves, that feeling of complete surrender, knowing, as Lahiri knew, Babaji was always with him, as Babaji is always with us, that every aspect of our lives is planned and guided by God and Guru. That even though we appear to be acting from our own will, we are really animated by that divine flow. Realization is to bring a unity between what our soul knows and what our ego can also experience. And what's asked of us to do that, let go of who we think we are, let go of where we think we're going. Let go of where we think we've been. And just with blind eyes, but wide open hearts, let Divine Mother lead us, take us wherever she will. God bless.
My Lord, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars. I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes, when I die, into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars, I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes, when I die, look into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars, I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes, when I die, look into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always, my
life flows on like a river, that homes to the sea. 1 hour bounding through mountain vales, 1 hour winding through a lea. None may linger on the way, none may coax time to stay. Fleeting scenes move by us like a dream. Cling not, none will be your own. Never grieve to be alone. Go within you, there's your home. Life flows on like a river that homes to the sea. 1 hour bounding through mountain vales, 1 hour winding through a lea. None may linger on the way, none may coax time to stay. Fleeting scenes move by us like a dream. Cling not, none will be your own. Never grieve to be alone. Go within you, there's your home. Go within you, there's your home.
Let's meditate together for a few moments now.
When Yogananda left his guru, Sri Yukteswar, almost exactly 100 years ago, he came to America. One of the many things he emphasized was the divine mother aspect of God. It was an important counter to the heavenly father, that image of the sort of sternness of the Heavenly Father that many Christians had grown up with. I personally very much appreciated that aspect, that Divine Mother aspect. It was one of the things that really called me onto this path. It's a counter to let go of what I had grown up with so that I could come into that devotional side, being held by the Divine Mother. But once that had happened, then the Heavenly Father aspect of God took on a new meaning for me personally. And the qualities of that loving Father I very much feel with Sri Yukteswar. The father who can reach down to the chela, to the child, and the small hands of the child can reach up and grab the one or two fingers and be led, led along the path. And it was those counters, the Divine Mother and the Heavenly Father, for me, that did more than just propel me along the path. It helped keep me in the center of that path towards finding God. I think many of us learn in all kinds of different ways to find the center of that path, to avoid those sort of guardrails, as it were, to avoid crashing off of the road, to keep going, to keep finding God. Yogananda has many, many stories in autobiography of a yogi, of his interactions that he participated in, he witnessed in, of Sri Yukteswar's, how he helped devotees, in particular disciples, those who maybe needed those course corrections on that spiritual path, where the loving father could help. One of those qualities that is required, that Sri Yukteswar was so perfect with, was looking into the hearts, to the sincerity of those devotees, to those disciples, to read their hearts, to know with divine sight, what is it that this person, that this soul needs? And shine a light on that guardrail to let them choose to steer back into the center of the roadway, or, who knows, karmically, they could also just steer right off and plow through that guardrail into who knows what. Or maybe it's just a little fender bender, burning up some karma, and be able to then come back into the center of the road, because what's a little bent fender? Many of the stories have those kinds of qualities. There was one in particular I was thinking about, Sasi and the Three Sapphires is the name of the chapter in Autobiography of a Yogi. Sasi was a college friend of Yogananda's who often came to the hermitage of Sri Yukteswar on weekends. Yukteswar became very fond of him, of Sasi. And he could see into his heart. He could see his karma and some difficulties that Sasi would potentially be experiencing. And he forewarned him and he said, get a bangle. Wear this bangle with a 2-carat sapphire. And you can avoid this karma. Sasi could not afford that sapphire. Sri Yukteswar said, well, okay, then you're going to have 1 year of hardship, of sickness, difficulty. Sasi was convinced, he was sure that Yukteswar would protect him, would help keep him in the center of that road, of Sasi's path to God. Sure enough, 1 year later, Sasi came back to Yukteswar just pleading with him, help me. And he came with these three sapphires, pushed Yogananda aside, came into the room with Yukteswar, prostrated himself on the floor, pleading with him, please help me. Help me get better. The loving father, he didn't scold him, but he reminded Sasi of what he had predicted, what he had told would happen. You're going to be sick. This is too late now. These three sapphires are not going to do you any good. But he could also see Sasi's devotion, his sincerity in his heart. And so Yukteswar got quiet. And to Sasi's credit, in this test, he stayed prostrated, completely and totally giving himself to Yukteswar for a full hour. Now think about that. 1 hour prostrated on the floor in front of Yukteswar, not moving, not saying anything. Finally, Yukteswar, rise. You don't need these sapphires. Return them to the jeweler. You will be well. That sincerity that Yukteswar could feel, could see. That loving father, those qualities come from a calmness that Yukteswar had in his heart, in his own heart. He had a very powerful, very strong mind. So much so that we've seen in other parts or here, how when he was in college, it was not a challenge. In fact, it was a challenge for him to go to college because he was so much smarter than what was happening around him. Yet, with that calm heart, he could transcend the mind. It doesn't mean that he repudiated those thoughts and those mental capabilities, by no means. But he would stay in that heart center, calm, divine sight, and be able to tell sincere people like Sasi, you will be well, you may still get sick, there is still some karma, but you will be well. And in fact, that's what happened to Sasi. His tuberculosis got much, much worse, so much so that Yogananda feared for his life, and he also came pleading to Yukteswar, please save him. Yukteswar's reply was, he's fine, he's good. Sure enough, Yogananda went back to Sasi, and in the meantime, Sasi instantly got well. He was sitting up in bed, and just as Yogananda was talking with Yukteswar, pleading with Yukteswar, Sasi had an image, he had a sight of Yukteswar blessing him, and the tuberculosis that he had just was gone. This is that divine sight, this is that sincerity that we all can have in our hearts. This is one of our goals, that calmness to bring into our hearts, to open ourselves, that no matter what else we have in this life, strong minds, strong creativity, strong whatever, whoever we are as personalities, we don't need to repudiate them. We don't need to quash them. We can still be the personality that we are. We come into our hearts, still those emotions, those wants, those desires. Find that Divine Mother, find that loving Heavenly Father to bring us back to the center of our pathway, so that as we offer up the little bit of light that is within us, whether it be in an arati like here this evening, or in whatever other practice, whatever other seva or service, we keep coming back to our hearts, to that sincerity, and we give our thanks to the Guru.
Deep in thee, if I find.
I will not blame the sea. I will find fault with my diving. I will find fault with my diving. Today my mind has dived deep in thee. For thy pearls of love from thy depthless sea. For thy pearls of love from thy depthless sea. Today my mind has dived deep in thee. If I find not, I will not blame the sea. I will find fault with my diving. I will find fault with my diving. Today my mind has dived deep in thee. Today my mind has dived deep in thee. From the depths of slumber as I ascend the spiral stairway of wakefulness, I will whisper, God, God, God. Thou art the food, and when I break my fast of nightly separation from thee, I will taste thee and mentally say, God, God, God. No matter where I go, the spotlight of my mind will ever keep turning on thee. And in the battle din of activity, my silent war cry will be, God, God, God. When boisterous storms of trials shriek, and when worries howl at me, I will drown their noises loudly chanting, God, God, God. Every night in time of deepest sleep, when peace dreams and calls joy, joy, my joy comes singing evermore, God, God, God. When my
my mind weaves dreams, dreams with threads of memories. On that magic cloth will I emboss. God, God, God. When waking, eating, working, dreaming, sleeping, serving, meditating, chanting, divinely loving, my soul will constantly hum, unheard by any. God, 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 God. God, God, God.
Let's meditate together now.